these wonderful people. And as I share the word this morning, I pray that they have ears to hear. I pray that they don't have voices going off in their soul that would hinder them from hearing the word of God. And so, Father, may your anointing be upon the souls of men here. May your anointing be upon their soul to receive and hear. And, Father, may your anointing be upon my lips to speak forth that which the Holy Spirit has taught me so that they can receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. While we've been covering the issue of spiritual development, why is it so important to understand the issue of spiritual growth? Well, because the kingdom of God really starts in your spirit and ends up manifesting itself in your flesh. That is so important to understand that. If you will, open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's go to verse 23. Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice that he said that he would desire that the entirety of you as a person would be not accountable for a lack in your spirit, your soul, and your body. Three areas: spirit, soul, body. Also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's turn there real quick, like, because we've been discussing the subject of spiritual development, and we have clearly defined the fact that your soul does not have the ability to search out the kingdom of God. It doesn't have the ability to receive insight or revelation. The revelation or insight comes from your spirit. It's as a result of the Holy Spirit at work within your spirit, not your soul, because you were not saved in your head. The head saving is a result of a process, the soul being delivered through a process. But really, it begins in your spirit, affects the soul, and then manifests, the fruit of it manifests in your body. That is how the kingdom of God works. Then, I'll never forget when I was listening to some cassette tapes on developing the human spirit. Dad Hagen has even books on that, tapes and books on that. He does clarify the fact that the human spirit has to be developed. But just recently, a few years back, I had come to the revelation out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that how I search for the kingdom of God within me is not with my head. It's not the Holy Spirit doing it for me. It is me, the person that I am, that's searching out the kingdom of God. And when I discovered that there is a difference, you know, if it was up to the Holy Spirit to search out the kingdom of God for us, none of us would be lacking spiritually. It is up to us as an individual, not the Holy Ghost. It's up to us as an individual to make a decision to go and search for the kingdom of God. Right. And that's why I was set free in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 when I found that this word here that was referring directly to my human spirit searching out God, not the Holy Ghost, my human spirit. The Holy Spirit is the ability to reveal the kingdom of God. There's nothing that he has to search out because there's no lack in the mind of God, because the Holy Spirit is the mind of God for us. So he's not going to search out any lack within himself, because whatever God knows, he knows. And whatever he knows, Jesus knows. Are you following what I'm saying? And so the Holy Spirit is not going to search out anything. He is going to be the revealer. And when I understood this very clearly, that it is my spirit that has to search out the deep things of God, not my head, not my body, but my spirit, that really brought an indictment to my intellect. It says here in verse 10, but God hath revealed unto us by his spirit, for the spirit is what searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now you notice that it's got a capital S in verse 10, but really it should have been a small s, because it's the spirit of man that is the candle of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly. And that is a prophetic statement out of Proverbs concerning the new birth. That is a prophetic statement. God has designed for us now to search out his kingdom through our spirit. not through our soul, not our head. Until I learned that very issue right there, boy, that brought an indictment to my intellect. I began to realize, and that's why God supernaturally one day padlocked my cabinets, because he knows that I have a tendency to search out through my intellect. And he put a padlock on those cabinets for a little over a year. Then he released me back to it again. And thank God for that. But I began to realize that you have to receive the mind of God through your human spirit. It's your spirit that searches. And I can tell when Christians are still searching out the kingdom of God through their intellect rather than their spirit. But it says, "For what knoweth the things of man which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." Well, he wasn't talking about the Holy Spirit there. He was talking about the reason that he had to bring the new birth. The new birth is the ability to comprehend the kingdom of God. Without being born again, you cannot know the kingdom of God. There is an element of truth that whenever a man gets born again, there is a certain level of comprehension that he arrives to automatically without really digging into the Word of God. How many of you knew that when you got born again and you knew it? How many of you can say amen? Get your hands up there. Let's give a testimony before each other. You knew that you knew. And if not, you questioned it for a little while, but eventually it got on the inside of you. Yes, I am born from above. I am born again. And that is the first level of understanding. Why? Because His Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. That's the first thing the kingdom of God will do, is do a bearing witness within you. Now, we've been asking ourselves, well, what good then is the soul really? What part does it really play in assimilating the kingdom of God? And it plays a major role in the renewing of the mind, the process of the renewing of the mind. But the process of the renewing mind does not start in the soul. It starts in your spirit. Your spirit has to be trained, retrained. It has to be renewed. We've heard terminology that the human spirit doesn't have to be renewed. It's made brand new at the beginning. No, it is not. It has been lit. It has been permeated with light, and in that process, that light exposed darkness in the other part of you as a person, which is your soul, what you are in the natural, your conscious mind. And that's why you have a conscience now towards that which is right from that which is wrong. That's why you automatically inherit that when you get born again. A lot of us don't recognize it right away when we get born again, that we inherit a conscience of God. But how many of you know that when you got born again, you didn't know how you knew that you knew that you knew, but you knew right from wrong. You knew what was right from what was wrong. Now, there's a hardness in us, and that hardness is in the soul. And the soul has a hardness about it if it doesn't want to conform to the will of God. And so that's what affects our conscience towards God, is this hardness that's in our natural realm. It'll sometimes fight against that which is spiritual. Are you following me? And so what it has to do, if the soul does not want to conform in a state of humility to allow your inward man to be given over to the Holy Spirit for its training to search out the things of God, then your soul, the hardness in your soul, or the thorns in your soul, or the afflictions and persecution, if they get into your soul, are you following me? Your intellect will destroy the seed of God's Word getting into your spirit. It will destroy it. And that's why we've got to learn, how do we develop spiritually? How do we develop spiritually? Well, Mark 4 gives us some great insight on how to develop spiritually. First of all, we understand one way that we develop spiritually is that we have to understand how to hear the Word of God. Most Christians, they go to church and the preacher is preaching and they're vacillating. They're in space cadet city. Their mind is no longer in the service. They're thinking about everything under creation but what is being said from the pulpit. Now, true, some teachers you need to ignore, praise God, because they are preaching junk. But even if a minister is preaching junk, you still need to pay attention, because it's a way that you train your soul to listen. You know, you have to train your soul to listen. You have to train your soul to listen, because that's how you can begin to develop discernment. Some people don't listen to anything, and yet they think they have great discernment. And really what they are legends in their own mind. They don't know how to focus their attention. They don't know how to give heed to what they're hearing. And I thank God, God's trained me to do that. He's trained me to do that. I went to Rhema. And when I was at Rhema, I heard all those teachers, but I didn't hear them. It was when I took those tapes and started listening to them again 2 years later, going to work on the freeway, I-5. That's where Rhema really began in my heart and life. I started plugging them tapes in. Remember that, Sue? And my gosh, they were saying things that I sat in the classroom, thought I heard, didn't hear. Yeah. Are you following me? I got re-educated. Matter of fact, I enjoyed my Rhema a whole lot better through the tapes than I did when I was there. Why? I had too much body issues that I was dealing with. I didn't know how to shut myself down and pay attention when I was there. I had too much on my mind, you know. I didn't know how to hear the Word of God. But I'll tell you what, when Jesus speaks, we all ought to pay attention. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, our Jesus ought to be just like E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. When Jesus speaks, everybody got to listen. Amen. Hallelujah. And He speaks to us one way today, through His Son Jesus. Now, it's the Holy Ghost that conveys His mind to us. But really, we've got to understand that it is within our spirit that we literally hear the Word of God. Now, our natural soul, all it can do is assimilate or build familiarity. That's all it's designed to do. We have to go and we have to read the Word of God to get our soul familiar with the Word of God, so that when the information does come from our spirit, it has something to join itself to. So your soul is very key in the issue of renewing of your mind, because it's just a part of the process. But mind renewal begins in your spirit, but if your soul doesn't have anything in it for the revelation to join to, what good is it? You're just receiving a bunch. If that was the case, if our soul didn't really have to meditate the Word of God and assimilate the Word of God, then what good would it do for the revelation to be birthed in you if it doesn't have anything to associate itself with you in the soul? You have to have the Word of God. But it's revelation. It's got to get in your spirit. Baloney. If a man meditates the Word of God and then memorizes the Word of God, he's better ground yet. So when the revelation comes forth, he can associate it right away. Why? Because he has a natural understanding of the seed in his mind. But man, I'll tell you what, when he gets the roots down into Christ, in that good ground, those roots come and they hit that soul and it's harvested their soul. Man, you know what it's... Ooh. Trouble is, a lot of these memorizers leave the Spirit of God out of the issue. See, and their intellect comes in. Your intellect will destroy God's Word. And I hate it when I have to go and just assimilate the Word of God, and God says, now don't go and try to figure it out. Leave it alone and let the revelation come out of you. Boy, that is so hard, because you want to take that thing and analyze it. Boy, I wanted to go to my cabinets, and I wanted to open those doors, and I couldn't open them. Why? God said, leave those things alone and let me bring forth the revelation. Now, having said all that, go to Mark 4. Now, if you listen to me, you're going to learn something here today. It's going to help you. Sure helped me. We were talking about Mark 4, the parable of the sower. And if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand all parables? In Mark chapter 4, it talks about two types of ground. It talks about one type of ground that somehow Satan has the ability to have access to this ground. He can sow tares in this ground. He can ruin this ground so that when God's seed, God's Word, which is His seed, gets into this ground, He can choke it, He can remove its life and everything. That ground that He's referring to, that Jesus was referring to, is a man's soul. If a man's soul is how he's going to interpret the kingdom of God, then you're taking something that is very clear that when you get born again, it needs deliverance. It needs salvation daily. What is it called? Can I hear it? What's it called? What are you to get saved daily? Say it real loud. Everybody say it. Your soul has to be saved daily. Do you think your soul has the ability to save itself? Wrong! Wrong! Your soul has not the ability to save itself. But listen, what God has done to your spirit, it now has the ability to search out the kingdom of God by doing what? Yielding or giving itself to God. So the only thing your soul can do is cloak itself in humility. That's all it can do. And so when it assimilates the Word of God, it leaves its intellect out. You got to leave your intellect alone. You got to go trying to find interpretation and let it come. And that's when God reveals Himself to you. It's much easier for you then to receive it because it leaves your indictment out of it. Amen. Now, in Mark 4 here, when he talked about verse 14 to verse 19, look at these verses real quick like. It talks about the sower who soweth the Word. And these are they by the wayside where the Word is sown. But when they have heard, guess what happens? Satan cometh immediately. Then he says the reason that he's able to do something with the Word that was sown in their hearts, this ground is the soul, the realm of the soul, because both of us have two types of ground in it. We have the ground that is called the soul, and then we have the ground what was called our spirit, the part of us that can search out the deep things of God. But we have this ground called intellect, called the natural mind. And in here, it says the first thing Satan goes after is hard ground in us. He looks to where we are living our Christianity out of hard ground. And what I mean by hard ground is there are some believers that are so easily offended. I mean, you just do one thing wrong and they're out of here. That is hard ground. And God said the reason that the new birth came is to remove that hard ground. And so if you've got hard ground in your soul, God's Word will begin to penetrate that ground, and guess what happens? The seed won't be able to take root in you because you're hard. You're not willing to humble yourself and let God's Word go beneath that and take root in you. The next area he says, oh, Satan's masterpiece. He loves to bring afflictions and persecutions because they also have the ability to offend you. That's found in your soul. That's found in your soul. Here's another one. If he can't get you through afflictions or persecutions, if you got a heart that is of gold naturally, you just love people, oh, guess what? He'll find a care in you of this world, and he'll attack that care. He'll also get a hold of you if you got an inkling of a love for money and not even know it. He'll go after you for the sake of money. Here's another one. The lust of others. Entering in removes the life of the Word of God. And where does that seed get destroyed? It gets destroyed in that first ground. Call what? Soul? Soul? Now notice this. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, I thought this verse is very interesting. You know, we've been taught about renewing of the mind. God wants your mind renewed so that you can get to the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen? Guess what? The good that the renewing of the mind will produce for you is not the acceptable will of God. No, it's not. You know, most of our church is operating out of the good, but God does not accept it. He wants you to move from the good to that which is acceptable. Now we're going to start getting something done. But you know, really, He doesn't want to leave you into what's acceptable. He'll challenge you to move you into perfection. He wants to mature you. He wants you to bring you to a full tree. Glory to God. That's His desire. And that's why He says, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? Some translations put vessel there. My new King James does. Or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick. Why was your spirit lit? Why did He light your spirit? That's what is a candle brought. He's referring to the new birth. Why is your spirit lit? Why is it lit? So you can search out the deep things of God and begin to harvest through your spirit what the soul needs. Hallelujah. For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither is anything kept secret, but that it should come to broad. You know what he's saying? When a seed has been planted, the ground will determine its outcome. The ground will determine its outcome. That's why some Christians produce things that they think it's spirituality and it's weirdness. Why? It came out of the ground of the soul. Yeah. See, Satan has access to your soul, but he does not have access to your spirit. Matter of fact, you turn your spirit over to God and you'll be doing things that your soul and your body don't like. Now, I want us to go on here. He talks about how you hear. If you, for the same effort that you put forth for hearing, that's what you're going to reap. And if you seem to think you've got something, Even that which you seem to think you have, you really don't have. Now, he goes down and says in Mark chapter 4, and I think I might have enough time to bring forth this revelation. This is an important one. Mark 4, I want us to go to verse 26, and I want to concentrate on, and I'm going to say some things today. It's going to shock a few of you, because Pastor Butler taught this myself, because I was taught this, that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can remove a mountain. I found out you can't. The Word of God does not say that mustard seed faith will remove a mountain. Pastor, but what about Matthew 17:20? We're going to go right there. But Matthew 17:20 does not say that the mustard seed will move the mountain.
Really?
Yeah. Are you ready? And he said, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and raise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, notice, sown on the ground, it is smaller than all the seed on there, but when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nestle under its shade. And really what the birds do is they actually not only nestle themselves in a mustard seed tree, but they also eat the seed off of the mustard seed tree. Now, what makes this so unique is I went and looked up what a mustard seed was all about, and the mustard seed is really a phenomenal thing, a phenomenal issue. When he made the statement, it's lesser than all the herbs in the field, it's really not referring to the size of the seed, but the miracle of the seed. The mustard seed is smaller than normal seeds according to what it produces. So when you sow a mustard seed into the ground, it's less than a BB. But when you put that mustard seed in the ground, it shoots out a tree that is so brushy that it's anywhere from 10 to 15 feet in diameter. And what Jesus was saying, a mustard seed is a phenomenon. Because that little seed, though it's little, when it's put in the right ground, it blossoms to a big tree so that the fowls of the air, that's referring to people, can nestle itself in those branches and then even get food out of it. Are you following me? Now, Matthew 17, verse 20, this is where we've gone to misunderstanding about how faith works in us. We've thought that if we had faith as a grain of mustard seed, a little seed, we can move mountains with that. And the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that your faith has to be fully developed in order to move that mountain. Now, how did I get that understanding? Well, thank God he gave me back to the Greek language a little bit to understand how things are worded. So look at Matthew 17:20. So Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move here to there, and it will move, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Now, did you know that this verse does not have the article? Now, I'm going to say some Greek things to you, but don't worry, I'm going to explain them to you. This particular verse is what we call an anseros. It means to the point, to point out the quality of something, not to identify an object. So when he says, as a grain of mustard seed, he was not taking the noun mustard seed, and he was not saying the mustard seed, he was saying the quality of a mustard seed. The quality of a mustard seed. Because this verse has not the article. It has a verb, as, but it doesn't have the article. Which means that this verse is not telling us, identifying mustard seed faith. It's identifying the quality of what a mustard seed will do in you if it's planted in the right ground. So we've been taught that we can take a little mustard seed, a little faith, and do something with it, like move a mountain. And the Bible doesn't teach that. And so if you get in to talk about where it says, oh, ye of little faith, oh, you have little faith. Well, I went to the Bible where it says, oh, ye of little faith. Matthew 8, verse 23 to 26. It talked about Jesus gave his word to the disciple and said, let us go to the other side. And what happened? A storm hit him. There was a challenge to Jesus' word. And Satan had the audacity to try to drown Jesus. He could care less about the other 12. And you know what the other 12 did? Fear hit them. Fear, we're going to perish. And Jesus woke up, rebuked the storm, and turned to him and said, your fear is likened unto little faith. So guess what? Their little faith couldn't stop the storm. Your little faith won't stop the storms. So here's another passage, Matthew 14:21. Peter was walking on water, and guess what happened? He began to look at the circumstances, and he began to sink, and Jesus grabbed him. And he said, Peter, why for did you doubt? You know what doubt is? Just like fear, it's likened unto little faith. If you have fear in your life, you're a little faith person. If you have doubt in your life to God's word, you're a little faith person. And you're not going to get nothing done for the kingdom of God, because little faith doesn't produce nothing in the Bible. Here's another one. Matthew 6:25-30. Guess what? That's talking about God being able to provide or supply your essentials in life. And he says anxiety and worrying is likened unto little faith. So when you worry and you're in anxiety about God supplying your needs daily, guess what? You're of little faith and you will not succeed. You will find a lack. You'll find yourself begging for bread. Why? Because you have to develop your faith so that no more anxiety, no more worry, no more doubt, no more fear can get into your heart and life. And you can do it. You can do it. Well, how can I know that I can do it? Because God gave you good ground to live off of. And that's what we'll get into next, called the Spirit of God. The new birth. That's why He gave you good ground. He gave you a ground that's better than the old ground, the soul. That's why the Old Testament saints couldn't harvest anything. Why? Their tree came out of this world. But Jesus said, oh, glory to God. He said, I'm going to do something with my trees now. I'm going to do something with the trees of humanity. I'm going to change the ground. I'm going to dung it. I'm going to take care of it so it won't be cut up and destroyed anymore, so that they can harvest something good out of a tree that's not producing fruit. That's Luke 13, and that's what we're going to get into. Get ready, it's full of revelation. But I'm going to tell you something. God wants the fullness of His kingdom to manifest in your spirit and in your soul and in your body. The three measures of meal. He wants the measure, your spirit, to come to its fullness, so that it can come to the fullness of the measure of meal in your soul, that can come to the fullness of the fruit manifesting on your tree. We'll get into that. Luke 13. If you want to take it home and read it, we'll get into it next week. Did you get something here today? Amen. Hallelujah. Stop saying, you know, I have this in little faith. Listen, when you confess you have little faith, you won't make it. Little faith here, Jesus told them many times in the Bible, you of little faith. Every time that word little faith is mentioned, it's because humanity was failing. Why were they failing? They had little faith. Why were they failing? They had mustard seed. That's it. They had a mustard seed. And they're trying to move a mountain. Of course, people like us taught that. I don't teach it no more. No, what moves the mountain is the quality of the mustard seed when it's developed into a full tree. Then our life provides for others. Then our life, for others, they can come and lodge under the shadow of us. They can come and eat of our tree. Why? Because we blossomed it into the fullness. I got news for you people. God will accept. Listen, God says there is a good. But listen, I don't want to remain at the good. Why? Because the good is not acceptable to God. Or why would He say next the acceptable? God doesn't want us to be good Christians. He wants us to get to a place where we're acceptable. And then move into a place where we're brought to maturity. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know something? So many of the church, that's why the message of faith has been done such a disservice, is they're trying to get the results they want by producing it out of little faith. Did you know that Jesus said, first the blade, then the ear and the full corner of the ear? You know, Sue came up to me, a wonderful cook she is, and she came up to me and said, husband, not pastor, husband. She says, you know what we're going to have tonight? We're going to have corn. You know, I get excited. My wife knows how to cook corn. But here's, what if she said this to me? We're going to have, not the corn, not the ear, but we're going to eat the blade tonight.
What? The little shoot that comes out of the ground?
Yes. I'm going to put that in boiling water. I'm going to boil it, and we're going to put salt and butter on it. And so I pull that little thing out, and it's wilted. Sure don't taste like corn to me. Why? It's just a little shoot. Well, what if she came and said, this night, we'll go to the ear. How many of you know what you do with the ear? Don't you tear it away? Tear the ear away. Why? To get to the center of the full corn in the ear. That's the part you butter, put salt on it, and just... Do you think God's designed us to eat blades? Do you think He's designed us to eat the ear? He designed us to eat the corn. He wants us to eat the fruit. See, that's where we harvest. He said the harvest is great. We look at that also as just souls being saved. But listen, the harvest is also great of what God can produce out of that good ground that He's going to give you. Well, that He's already given you if you're born again. That's the kingdom of God can produce a lot in you if you're willing to let each measure of that meal come to its fullness in Him. Did you get something here today? Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for being patient with us. We covered a lot. Hallelujah. I'm sorry to, rain on our parade, thinking that we could have little mustard seed move mountains and stuff. But I'm going to tell you, that verse is referring to the quality of the mustard seed. That's what we call, in the Greek, ananthros. That means an analogy of the quality of something, not the noun itself. When I saw that, I went into shock. He wasn't saying you take a mustard seed and move them out. He was saying the quality of the mustard seed, what's moving, has got to shoot into a tree. That's what moves mountains. Fully developed seed. Right out of the right ground. Well, we'll look at the dunget ground that Lonnie preached years ago on 84th. I never forgot that message. He's got to dung us. What are you saying, Lonnie? He's got to poop on us before we get results? No, there's a tremendous meaning behind that. The kingdom of God is designed to put trees in the right kind of ground. Yes. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for these wonderful people. I don't want nobody moving around. I want you to stay focused. I thank you so much for these wonderful people here today, Father. Father, I don't understand the hearts of everybody here, but I know that, Father, here this morning, we've got people that are not saved. We got people that are out of